Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. That was the opening verse of the introit that you heard this morning from Psalm 43. It's where we get the title from in Latin for this Sunday in the church year, Judica, which means judge me or vindicate me. Vindicate me, O God. That's the cry of a righteous man who has been unjustly accused of unrighteousness. Of a truthful man who has wrongly been called a liar. Of an innocent man who has been unjustly accused and judged and condemned. It's a plea to God who sees the truth to stand up for the one who is being falsely accused by men, to rescue him, to make him victorious over his accusers. Men may get it wrong. They may treat a just man unjustly. But in the end, God will sort it all out and see to it that the righteous are vindicated and that the unrighteous are condemned. Now, if Christians who have been falsely accused can pray this psalm, and we can, how much more the Son of God when He is falsely accused? And that's exactly what we see happening in today's gospel. This gospel is a fitting preparation for Holy Week next week, as Jesus' bitter enemies, the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem, spoke to Him with utter hatred and contempt, falsely accusing Him of all sorts of things. Next week, we'll watch Jesus being falsely accused before the Jewish Sanhedrin and before Pontius Pilate on Good Friday, and we'll marvel at His silence. But in today's Gospel, which takes place several months before Holy Week, Jesus does not remain silent at all. In fact, He doubles down again and again and makes even bolder claims before the unbelieving Jews, claims that would eventually get Him killed, claims that would eventually require vindication from God. Which one of you convicts me of sin? No one stood up to do it because they couldn't. And if I'm telling the truth, why do you not believe me? The Pharisees and the other unbelieving Jewish leaders had been scolding Jesus on this day for His teaching. They had been boasting about their lineage from Abraham. How dare you claim that you are some kind of a Savior, that we need you, Jesus, that you are sent from God. We're Abraham's descendants. We are God's chosen people. You're a nobody. That's the essence of what they were telling Him that day. And yet not one of them could prove anything Jesus had said to be wrong. No one could point to any sin He had committed. Everything He did proved that He was telling the truth. And yet they still refused to believe Him. And here He tells them why that's the case. He who is from God hears God's words. This is why you do not hear, because you are not from God. In other words, God's children listen to God's words. The fact that people refuse to listen to Jesus, refuse to believe in Him, proves that they are not children of God. That's an accusation from Jesus to those who refuse to believe Him. And it's an accusation of how much of our society and of our world, how much of them would be on the receiving end of this accusation. You won't listen to God's word. You insist on making up your own truth, your own right and wrong, your own doctrines and beliefs, your own way of salvation. you who do this, you are not God's children. That's the accusation Jesus made against the unbelieving Jews. It's the same accusation he continues to make against the unbelievers of the world. And people today react mostly the same way that the Jews reacted to Jesus' accusation. They answered and said to him, "Do we not rightly say that you're a Samaritan and that you have a demon?" First, they mocked Jesus as being a Samaritan, a half-breed, an outsider, a worshiper of a false god, and even possessed by the devil. The world does the same thing today. They hold up their own false version of God, sometimes even their own version of Jesus, which is a false one. They hold that up as the true God and then label Bible-believing Christians as the mean ones, as the intolerant ones, as the ones who are on the wrong side of history. Well, Jesus answered the Jews, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it and who judges." Notice that Jesus doesn't launch into a grand, eloquent defense of his words or of his ministry. He doesn't dabble in philosophy or apologetics. He simply denies having a demon and then claims that he is honoring his Father. He even claims that God the Father seeks honor for him, for Jesus. And he threatens the unbelieving Jews that God will judge the one who does not honor Jesus. To that, he then adds an astounding promise. "Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." Now, death comes for us all. We all know that. Everyone knows that. Imagine hearing someone claim that their words were the key to avoiding death. Now, what does it mean to keep Jesus' word? What means first to believe that he is telling the truth about God, about himself, about us, about right and wrong, and about the way of salvation from death, which is by faith in him as the conqueror of death, sent by God to save sinful human beings who are otherwise destined to die and to suffer death forever. But it means more than believing all that to be true. Keeping his word also means actually acknowledging and repenting of our sins, trusting in him for the forgiveness of sins, and seeking to put his word into practice in how we think and speak and behave in this world. Those who keep his word will never see death, will never taste death. That's not a promise from Jesus that our bodies will never give out. It's a promise that when they do, our souls will not experience even a moment of hell or separation from God, but will go on living with the life that we have in him even now, and that one day our bodies will also be raised and perfected and joined back together with our immortal souls. But all that was too much for the Jewish leaders that day. Then the Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, and so did the prophets. And you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died, and the prophets died? Who do you make yourself out to be?" They just can't believe it. They can't believe that anyone would be so bold as to claim that he can keep people from dying. That's even crazier than claiming that God created the universe in six natural days, which those Jews likely believed. But to them, Jesus' words couldn't possibly be true. Because if they were, that would mean that he was greater than Abraham, greater than the prophets. In fact, it would mean that Jesus was truly sent by God, was the Lord of life, and the ruler over death, and that they just were not going to accept. Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God." God the Father had been honoring Jesus throughout his entire ministry, in every miracle that Jesus performed, in every perfect outcome of everything Jesus said and did. That's why we really need to take note during Holy Week. Because during that first Holy Week, some 2,000 years ago, for about 3 days, from Thursday evening until Sunday morning, the Father would not publicly honor Jesus. He would allow him to be utterly dishonored by men. And the question is why? And the other question is, would the Christ ever be vindicated? That will be our focus next week and on Easter Sunday. For now, Jesus just keeps doubling down on his claims. "You do not know him, but I know him. If I were to say I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word." Not only does Jesus call his detractors liars to their faces, he calls them liars for claiming to know God, when in fact they didn't know him. And then he adds another claim, almost as a taunt. "Your father Abraham was glad that he would see my day, and he saw it and rejoiced." Then the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." You know, there are many, many so-called Christians today who claim that Abraham never believed in Jesus, and therefore modern Jews will also be saved without believing in Jesus. But in this text, Jesus proves them to be liars. Abraham did believe in Jesus. He saw Jesus from afar and put his faith in him and rejoiced in him, the distant seed of Abraham who would come and be a blessing to all nations. In fact, when Abraham encountered the Lord God, even back in his day, the truth is, he encountered the person of Jesus there, though not the man Jesus, because unlike the rest of us, Jesus, the person, existed before he was born. In fact, he existed before the universe was born, from the beginning, together with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Jesus is, or as he puts it, I am. This is the one whom you worship, dear Christians. The Lord, the great I am, the seed of Abraham, the Son of God and the Son of Man. This is the one who confronted the unbelievers in Israel, who spoke the truth to them but was called a liar, who was righteous but was branded as unrighteous, who was innocent and yet who was eventually condemned as guilty and put to death. They couldn't do it on that day because, as John says, his hour had not yet come. But it would come, and we will spend next week together hearing about it in detail. The accusers and enemies and murderers of Christ would have their day, And Jesus cries out through the psalmist, "Vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation." For a few days, it would appear as if the Father hadn't heard Jesus' plea. But all that would change on the third day, when Christ's vindication would surely come. You too will be vindicated eventually against all the false accusations people make against you, against all the taunts, against all the mistreatment of the world, against all the apparent victories of the devil who has been pummeling the true Christian church for a long time now. When you suffer unjustly, when you're unjustly accused, when the world condemns you, when the devil comes for you, when death itself comes for you, don't lose heart. Say with the psalmist, say with Jesus, "Vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation, against unjust persecution, against sin, death, and the power of the devil." And you'll see, God will vindicate you just as He vindicated His perfectly innocent Son to whom you belong, because unlike the unbelievers in our gospel, you are children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.